you have your Bibles, let's be encouraged, of course, from God's Word, again, in the backdrop of what I just shared earlier. But, of course, again, reminded that we are in great spiritual warfare. Of course, there's going to be ups and downs, drama and trauma in life. But may we always hang on to God and never let go. And so praise God, He hangs on to us. So praise God. But tonight's message, I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go. That's the title. And it's piggybacking off the testimony, the lessons that we can glean from Jacob's life, Old Testament Jacob. Last week, if anyone remember, we talked about Isaac and Rebekah. You know, just keep on digging those wells. And if people contest it, just move on. Hey, if there's conflict, that's okay. Turn the other cheek, just move on, dig another well. And of course, the New Testament, of course, has all the doctrines and principles of Scripture of Christian living. And then the Old Testament, we actually see and read the character life stories showing those principles and those truths. So let's go to Genesis 27. This is, of course, we're going to pick up kind of a midway here on the life of Jacob. And a lot of these Old Testament characters, you know, certainly there's ups and downs, just like in real life for you and I. And so may we see a kind of a parallel there of obviously the circumstances, the specifics are obviously very different. You know, I trust you don't have a older sibling who wants to kill you, okay, but the idea is there's always going to be hardships, there's always going to be trauma and drama, wins and losses kind of thing, and so may we kind of draw a parallel from that, and then the principles, of course, and of course where Jacob excelled in, and he's the supplanter, and so there was some certain things, certain traits that were not commendable, but the one thing that Jacob stood out was his dependency on God when he realized his own failure. Of course, you know, bringing up to, you know, his wrestling with God, and that's all he did. He would not let God go, not till he got the blessing from God. And so may that be kind of a charge, you know, a challenge for us to, no matter what happens, don't let go. Don't let go. And so Jacob's testimony, we'll pick it up in verse 42, Genesis 27. And so this is after he had stolen big brother Esau's blessing. And, of course, Esau is just you know, furious, wants to kill him. And so mom gets word of this. And so let's go to verse 42. It says, "And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a always a joy to be in thy house. And Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay that I would speak what you would have me to say. Father, hide me behind the cross and minister to us from heaven on high tonight. Lord and Father, our hearts are heavy. Lord, as we think of others, Lord, that we've been praying for, some fallen in sin, Lord, and help us, Lord, to watch and pray that we ourselves don't fall into temptation, that we have the whole armor of God. We put it on and never take it off. Father, we do lift up those who have been hurt and that, you know, that Lord, we are reminded, Lord, that we are in a battlefield of great spiritual warfare. And so, Father, help us to be prayed up, to be confessed up, and help us to glean tonight, Lord, from your word and be encouraged from the testimony of Jacob, Lord. What a blessing it is for me, Lord, to see your grace shine in his life, Lord, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The one thing I do appreciate about Jacob is, you know, when I read, for example, the testimony of Job, okay, a wonderful man of God, wonderful Old Testament saint, he eschewed evil, he feared God. When I read Job, it's in my mind, I think, well, that's good for him, but I'm no Job. And then when I read Jacob, I can identify with Jacob. I'm just saying, okay? And I see his vulnerabilities, when I see his temptations, when I see him cutting corners, that's my middle name, you know? And the idea is I can really associate with Jacob. Yet the one thing that he got right, that he nailed down, was his complete dependency of God, you know, when it mattered. Okay, when there was nothing else, he held on to God, would not let go. And so may that be kind of a takeaway here. And of course, we read his life story here, there's ups and downs, but through it all, his dependency of God is there. And so I trust this would be a blessing to you and I, okay? And again, his circumstances, his hardships, I'm assuming, you know, not the same as you and I, okay? But the larger lessons as far as with you know, drama and trauma. He had it, we have it, okay? And so maybe kind of draw a parallel there. And so this kind of starts off here in kind of a mid story. Rebecca, of course, overhears Esau wanting to kill Jacob. And that's a heartbreak for any parent, okay, to have your kids at such enmity with each other. Of course, she did prefer Jacob, and so she tells him to flee. And right off the bat here, several takeaways. Number one, sometimes things happen when we least expect it. It can just happen when we least expect it. Jacob, of course, just got the blessing of a lifetime. I mean, he snuck in, pretended to be Esau, and he got dad's blessing. So he would say this is a 10 out of a 10 day. You know, things are going, a 5-star day. I mean, things are going so well. Now, almost on the turning on a dime, he's got to flee for his life. And so probably didn't see that coming. Again, one big blessing, and the next thing you know, things have taken a turn for the worse. You know, so things can happen in this life when we least expect it. You know, we've been praying for Pastor Kosky. That's Gabe's pastor down in Iowa. Still keep praying for him. Long road to recovery. Lord willing, he can recover. But again, medically speaking, it's not optimistic. And so certainly life-changing. And he was at Bible camp when that happened. And we were at Bible camp, you know, close to that time. And I just praise God for his mercy. But it just shocks me. It surprises me. You know, sometimes we take things for granted. And then out of the blue, we're not expecting to say, hey, this is going great. What a blessing. And then next thing you know, that's it. And so sometimes things can happen when we least expect it. Trauma and drama can come from both without and within. Sometimes we're guarded against those that are without. And then Esau here is the one that has animosity towards his brothers from within. Sometimes it's the other way around. But again, it's all by God's grace. And so our dependency needs to be on the Lord, because vain is the help of man. Okay, so that's kind of my takeaway here. Sometimes things can last a lot longer than we think, right? Certainly a lot longer than what Rebecca thought. She's telling her son, these are essentially the last words she spoke to her son. It's not recorded any other place beyond this. She says to him, tarry with him a few days, your uncle Laban, until thy brother's fury turn away. And so in Rebecca's mind, she's thinking, a week most, a week tops. You know, then Esau would just get caught up, you know, hunting again and, you know, just kind of forget about it. But little did Rebecca know that this was the last time she would see Jacob, her beloved son. He ends up leaving for, get this, 20 years. And so what she thought was just a few days dragged on to weeks, months, years. And then at some point she passes on, never seeing Jacob again. Sometimes things can happen when we least expect it, both from without or within, and things can happen a lot and last a lot longer than we think. It's a blessing when we heal up over the weekend, but sometimes things can be life-changing. Of course, the takeaway is, no matter what happens, hang on to God, trust in God, and never let go. And yet, whenever things happen, when our life gets turned upside down, when things change so radically, we don't recognize our circumstances, we might not even recognize ourselves, God still reassures us through his word. And so if you go back down to next chapter 28, Genesis 28, go to verse 11. So I'm going to skip, for sake of time, some of the in-between details here. But let's go to verse 11 of the next chapter, Genesis 28. And so God, of course, now Jacob's on the run, so he leaves mom and dad. He just takes off. He goes to Uncle Laban. And so look at verse 11. It says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Now, he's alone by himself, okay, because the sun was set. And by the way, when I think of Jacob again, another way I can personally relate to him, I'm not a tough guy. I'm not an Esau. Esau's a rough guy, you know, hair in his chest, hunter guy. Jacob's a smooth man. Like, yeah, that's me. You know, he's more of an indoor guy, okay? And so I really relate to Jacob. And here he is, he's not home anymore. He's roughing it out, right, in the outdoors. This would be a nice stroll for Esau in the wilderness. But for Jacob, I don't know. I don't like bugs. Esau probably eats them. I'm just saying, different type of person. And so here he is, out by himself in the middle of the wilderness. And he's, you know, it's the first time. And so tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. You don't have those down, you know, memory foam pillows that we're used to. Now he's roughing it out in the wilderness, and all he got is just some stones that kind of put it down and goes to bed, and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Well, even though he is physically alone, of course God is always with him. And so that's kind of our next takeaway here. Even if our world gets turned upside down, even if your sibling or your close friend or whoever wants to kill you, I mean, things get so bad, like Esau and Jacob, even if you run away from home and you're exiled, you got to go into hiding or witness protection program, whatever the case is, maybe your world is turned inside out, God is always with you. So hallelujah. So that's a blessing for us. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So a lot of activity going on. Boy, this is, you know, to the human eye, to the physical eye, this is just another place that's barren, that's a wilderness, nothing here. But with God's presence, it makes all the difference. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, not just to anyone, to him. So God encouraging Jacob, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. He reiterates the promise to Abraham, the covenant of the land of Canaan. What a blessing. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. What an encouragement. He doesn't even have a wife yet. And God reminds him, your descendants, Jacob, will be as the dust of the earth because of my promise to Isaac and Abraham. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south. Wow. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Of course, we know ultimately it's Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. You know, God knows he's fleeing, but he's going to come back. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Oh, what a blessing. Now I get it. God is speaking to Jacob in dreams. Now, God doesn't speak to us in dreams anymore, but God sure does speak to us. How? Through his word. And so we don't need to wait till we get into that state of that REM sleep before we can dream. No, you can just read God's word and God speaks to us. So what a blessing. And so praise the Lord. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, God tells it to all Christians. He is our Heavenly Father. And so the same, again, as God speaks to Jacob and encourage him, even though he feels all alone, God is always with us. Hallelujah. And then look at Jacob. He wakes up now, verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? I mean, it's pretty amazing to have that interaction with God Almighty, okay? And so this is none other but the house of God. That would be Bethel. That Bethel means house of God. And this is the gate of heaven, of course, referring to his dream, the vision of Jacob's ladder. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stones that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. There you go. And so he makes a little memorial, a little, not say shrine, but a, how we can say, like an Ebenezer, right? Like a little pillar of stones and Ebenezer. And I think we sing that song, Come Thou Fount, right? Here I, what does it say, my Ebenezer, okay? But that means a stone pillar, testifying as a memorial for God that helps, okay? It means stone of help, and so that's what it means. But anyway, he sets up a pillar of a memorial, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Luz is just a local name. But to Jacob, it's the house of God. Amen. That's it. That's how it matters to him. And so that's how it is, you know, how God spoke to him and how God communed with him, encouraged him. And look at verse 20. And Jacob is so moved by this. And may we feel the same way when we are encouraged, when we read God's word, when God reminds us that he is with us. May this be our response as well. Verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Okay. Now God said he'll bring him back. Okay. But again, God's will be done. He wants to, Lord, it'd be sure nice if I could reconcile with Esau. It'd be sure nice if he doesn't hate me my whole life. Okay, and so he wants to come back in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, this is an awesome prayer of dedication. Just to put it in context here, Jacob is not making this as a dare to God. This is not a test that Jacob is putting up the golden fleece or the fleece. This is not a prayer made in doubt. It is a prayer made in faith, according to God's will. And so that's where he's coming from. The idea is God had just promised that he will provide for Jacob. And so Jacob is essentially saying, okay, Lord, if you'll provide for me, if you'll sustain me in this fashion, I will be able to worship you. And whatever I have, I'll give a tenth to you. I'll tithe to you. Okay, and the idea is, same thing, I might pray, you might pray, Lord, if it be your will, give me this job. And if you give me this job, then I'll have capacity to give a tenth to you. I mean, to tithe unto you. If it's not your will, obviously I won't have it to tithe. And so, but your will be done. And so the idea is he's saying, God, if it be your will, this is my desire. I want to do this. So he's not doubting God. He's dedicating what he would do based on what God does. And so bring me back in peace, Lord. That would be my desire. bring me back in peace with my brother. He's conversing with God. It's by faith. It's a prayer of dedication. And may we, well, maybe follow his example. Again, don't have to be a Job. God accepts a Jacob. And this is where he encourages me. You know, and said, Lord, if you bless me with this, then if it be your will and you make it come to pass, then I want to do this for you. Obviously, if God directs you somewhere else, then that won't happen. Okay, God shuts the door. But the idea is God sees the heart. And so, Lord, if it be so wonderful, if you bless me with this, then I'll be blessed to do this for you. All right? And that's what he's praying here. And now, of course, we know what happens next, right? Jacob meets Rachel, boy meets girl, right? Falls in love with her, agrees with Rachel's dad, Laban, Uncle Laban, to work 7 years in exchange for her hand in marriage. Of course, we know what happens. He finds out the day after the wedding that he has been deceived, right? So let's fast forward to chapter 29, and then let's go to verse 25. Chapter 29, and then verse 25. Again, going through all the ups and downs of Jacob, the takeaway for us is, through it all, hang on to God, never let go. And that principle served him well. It would serve you and I well. And so verse 25, this kind of fast forward here. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Of course, it's somewhat ironic. I mean, I guess we could say that Jacob got what was coming to him. He tricked his own dad. Now he gets tricked. But again, this is doesn't two wrongs don't make a right. And so Laban did, you know, use subtlety with his dealing with Jacob. And so verse 26, and Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. In fact, I can almost hear Esau saying, if he was in the audience, take that, Jacob. How do you like that? Don't like being deceived, do you? I'm just saying. But this happened. But a takeaway for you and I here, sometimes things aren't what we think they are, right? And so just remember, in the road of life, sometimes things aren't always what we think they are. Even if we've prayed about it, even if we've searched the scriptures, even if we've gotten godly counsel from others, things may still not turn out the way that we thought. I might get a dream job. Lord, please give me this dream job. But then it turns out I have a nightmare of a boss. Just saying. Or a horrible coworker. And then I hate the job. Or might have a dream house, only to find out that there's black mold in there. I'm just saying, in life it happens. Or a newly married couple. But then one gets severely injured in an accident and is now paralyzed for life. I mean, these are sad things that can happen. Hey, it's these things happen. And sometimes things aren't what we think they are. But praise the Lord. God is there. God is there. Hang on to him. Never let go. Is that a reason to give up when things don't turn out the way I was hoping? Is it when I throw in the towel? No, don't do that. Again, this is Jacob's testimony. Jacob worked another 7 years for Rachel. He could have walked away, right? He could have said, what, forget this, or I'm done. Or he could say, oh, well, I guess I'll go. No, I mean, he really wanted Rachel. And so he worked another, well, verse 27 says, fulfill her week. This is the marriage week of Leah. So don't back out now, okay? It's a seven-day wedding celebration. That's how they did it back in the day, back in the Jewish day. And fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And so just stick around, Jacob. Don't duck out. Honor Leah. And so go through the marriage week, and then we'll give you Rachel and Mary. You got to work 7 years for her, but then you'll get her at the end of the week. And so, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to a wife also. When circumstances aren't what we thought they might be, don't quit. Don't quit. Stay faithful to the Lord. And so Jacob, of course, finally has Rachel. You know, that's to fast forward now. So life is perfect, right? Wrong, okay? There's still more drama to be held. Wouldn't you know it, Laban, his father-in-law, tries to take advantage of Jacob. He doesn't stop with just the marriage was an indicator, but he continues that way. Ever have family members, maybe loved ones, relatives, I don't know, in-laws, outlaws, who just want to use or abuse you? You know, Jacob can attest to that. Maybe coworkers, maybe friends or frenemies. Bottom line here, it doesn't have to be a family member like Laban. There will always be drama and trauma in our life. But remember, never let go of God. Always trust the Lord. And Jacob trusted and he depended on God all the 20 years. And it was a highly stressful time. In fact, his sleep left him, right? So he had insomnia. I'm guessing he lost a lot of weight. Okay, I'm just saying, got white hair. I'm just saying it was a traumatizing time, those 20 years. He could not have been happier when he left his father, like, oh, out of there for 20 years. Okay, but for 20 years, he served his father-in-law for Laban. But God blessed him, even though there was all this fraud going on, all this shrewdness where Laban would try to kind of continue try to trick him. And God still blessed Jacob amidst all the drama and trauma of his life. And so here's the takeaway for you and I. Our life might not be drama and trauma free. God can still bless you. Hold on to him, never let go. And so let's go to Genesis 31. So he kind of recaps this to his to Rachel at the end here of the 20 years. And so let's go to Genesis 31 and verse 1. Genesis 31, verse 1. So it's, and he heard the words of Laban's son. So this is sometime later at the end of the 20 years, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And of that which was our father's has he gotten all the glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Okay, so after 20 years, Jacob is extremely prosperous, extremely wealthy. Laban's wealth has shrunk, even though Laban has been trying to take advantage and mess over Jacob. Okay, it's because God has providentially provided. Okay, so we'll get to that. But I want to just encourage you, and myself too. There will be drama and trauma in our life, but God can still bless. And of course, now Laban gets upset, and he's giving Jacob the evil eye. And so he's like, time to go. Okay, that's my cue. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So God was with him there in Laban's land. Now God's going to follow him back. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock and said unto them, I see your father's countenance that it's not toward me as before, okay? And by the way, that's saying a lot because Laban was out to mess with Jacob from the start. And so that's considered good compared to this. I mean, so how is it now? But the God of my father hath been with me. Amen. Verse 5, just take it to heart. Things might have turned for the worse in our lives, but God is still with us, right? And ye know that with all my power, I have served your father. So he's telling his wives, you know, I didn't try to cheat him. I did it as best as I can. It's kind of a new thing for him, but the 20 years now, he's kind of a changed man, and so he's got some integrity, and so he wants to serve, and he honestly served as best as he could his father-in-law. He didn't try to cheat Laban, but God providentially blessed him at Laban's expense, okay? And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me, not 1 cent. The idea, you know, it could be 10 times, literally. But again, that expression 10 times, even as God said, Israel, they tempted me 10 times in the wilderness. Okay, 10 times is how we would say, you know, I told you a million times. Okay, not necessarily a million, it's just the way that we say it, an expression, a lot of times. Could be more than 10. Okay, but the idea is all the time. So Laban tried to cheat his son-in-law all the time, okay? And so here's the deal, just so we understand what's going on here. Laban knew God was going to bless Jacob. So he said, hey, why don't you stick around and take care of my livestock? That way, God will bless you and I'll get blessed. And so Laban, his livestock was probably 90-95% solid color. Okay, there were a few in his livestock that were not solid color, the sheep, the goats, okay? Few were spotted, ring-streaked, grizzled, okay, different patterns on them. But the majority of Laban's livestock was a solid color. And so his deal with Jacob was, well, you take care of the flock, you know, and here's the payment. Whatever offspring would be solid, that would be Laban's, and whatever offspring of the livestock would be not solid, so pattern, ring-streaked, spotted, okay, grizzled, that would be Jacob's to keep. And so since the majority of the livestock was solid color, well, it stands to reason that the majority of the offspring would also be solid, and then Laban basically get the majority of the blessing, and Jacob can work for peanuts. Okay, I mean, that was what he was thinking in his mind. But wouldn't you know it, every time Laban tried to change the wage for Jacob, saying, ooh, I see a lot of spotted livestock are being born. Tell you what, why don't you keep not the spotted, just the ring straight? You just keep that. Guess what? God will make the ring straight be born. And then he said, ooh, a lot of ring straights being born. Why don't you just keep the gristle? Not that, not the ring straight, just the gristle. Guess what? The gristle will be born. Okay, so this is how God intervened divinely here to continue to bless him amidst his storms in his life. So look at verse 8 and 9. This is what Jacob is confiding and telling to Rachel and Leah. Says, if he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckle. What? against those odds? And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. So, he, Laban just couldn't get ahead. It's just like, imagine saying this. Now, I know that, you know, the livestock, they're not left-handed or right-handed like humans are. Okay, but just imagine if Laban was saying, all the right-handed kids will be mine. The lefties will be yours. Okay, just imagine those odds. Jacob says, okay. And then wouldn't you know it, every single child born was a lefty. Like, what? How does that happen? Again, this same thing. God is divinely intervening to bless Jacob. Because even though Jacob's being taken advantage of, God sees it. God sees it. God knows when you are getting taken advantage of. He knows it. Jacob said, hey, not me. God did it. He showed me a vision so I know which one to breed. I mean, God showed it to me. And so that's amazing. And so verse 9, because of that, you fast forward to 20 years. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. So at the end of all these, you know, birthing cycles, now the majority of the flock has kind of swapped. The majority are the healthy, spotted, and non-solid livestock. And then Laban is left with the sickly minority, which are the solids. It completely swapped. And so Jacob says, well, you know what? I'll take mine. It was fair. I mean, we're going to go. Of course, Laban gets really upset. But that, I just want to share this because that's how it happens. The whole time he was there, father-in-law was oppressing him, but Jacob trusted God. He hanged on to God and never let go. Now, why do I share all this that's been happening since mom sent him 20 years ago to run away from Esau? Because now he's coming back to where he started. He leaves Laban. he's going to run into Esau and his army. And so, of course, we know this story. Jacob is completely frightened. And if he thought Laban was bad before, now meeting Esau, he's like, okay, now I'm in big trouble. And another takeaway for us, sometimes things can go from bad to worse, out of the frying pan into the fire. Jacob's freaking out. He honestly believes that Esau is going to kill him. And so what is Jacob's only solution, right? Trust God. And so when God appears to him in the form of an angel, okay, but when he wrestles with God, it's a no-brainer because Jacob has already been doing this the last 20 years in all his circumstances. When he wrestles with God, Jacob knows this is it. This is my one chance of salvation to be delivered from Esau is with God. And even though his hip was dislocated and the pain is, from what I've been told, is just horrific pain, he will not let go. Even if it kills him, he's not going to let go. Okay, so let's go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32 and then verse 24. And so we fast forward. He knows Esau is coming with a huge army, his servants. Now, these aren't just, these are hired servants, okay? So these are trained servants, military. I mean, they can fight, okay? And so they're coming. And so let's go to verse chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I mean, he's beyond exhausted. I can't imagine even a five-minute wrestling match would just tire most people out, let alone all night. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. But yet Jacob did not let go, right? And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. This is his only hope. He knows that if he lets God go, if he compromises, he's done. And so he's hanging on literally for dear life, and his life is in the Lord. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, i.e. supplanter, right? And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Woo, what a blessing. Of course, then the rest is history. And of course he reconciles, as God says, as Jacob, prayed in faith, God bring me back, not in any other circumstance, but peace. I want to be reconciled with my brother, and God brought it to pass. That's amazing. But he's hanging on to God with all that he has. So take away for us. Things can change when we least expect it. Trauma, drama can come from within or without. Things can last a lot longer than we think. In Rebecca's case, lasted 20 years. And well, even before that, she passed on before even the 20 years was up. Sometimes things are not what we think they are. He thought he was marrying Rachel, ended up with Leah. Sometimes things can go from bad to worse. He thought Laban was tough, now he's going to see Esau. But no matter what, hang on to God and never let go. I understand God holds on to us, praise the Lord, and none shall pluck us from his hand. That's our eternal security. But as far as with our faithfulness to God, abiding in Christ, John 15, hang on to God, never let him go. Because our life does depend on it. The blessings of life do depend on us being faithful to the Lord. Make a prayer of dedication to God. Jacob did not mean it as a taunt or a test of God's, of what God can do. He meant it as a prayer of dedication. Lord, if you allow this to happen, then I will be so blessed to give a tenth to you, to tithe and worship you. What a blessing. And so challenge yourself. Say, Lord, if you bring this to pass, I'll live the rest of my life, or whatever the case might be, oh, I'll do this. God, if you do this, that would enable me to do that for you, because I would love to do that and bless and thank you that way. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful just example of Jacob. Again, just a very fallible guy, very human, but the one thing he got right was his dependency on you. And so, Lord, help me to be like Jacob. Father, again, we ask that you be glorified in the prayer time tonight as we depend 100% on you, your mercy, your goodness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray.